This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fundamentals have not been on point for the Steelers after looking down the barrel of 10-3 going on 11-3, a potential number one seed. Currently, with one game left in a wild card spot, he joins us again. Mark Tomlin said that changes will be made if things don't get better. Changes, what type of changes could those be? I don't foresee any changes. What, are they going to bench Minka? Are they going to bench Deshaun Elliott, Patrick Queen? George Pickens going to sit down for throwing his helmet? I don't see it.
Yeah, there's only one possibility of changing anybody, and that would be putting more Beanie Bishop in over Cam Sutton. I mean, that's the only logical place you can make changes, unless he's talking about philosophical changes. This is a team that's really, really struggled with. They're a man defensive team, right? They have struggled. I don't know if they have the talent or the players right now to be a pretty strict man team. Maybe if he's talking about schematically and going more zone, that could be the changes they're talking about. But as for personnel-wise, they're very limited across the board of what you can change.
I feel like they get picked apart, though, way too often in zone coverage. And, I mean, how about Travis Kelce being open like half the game in the middle of the field? No one's within 10 yards of him. It's like literally the closest Travis Kelce is downtown. Like, that's how far he is. That frustrates me.
What did Deshaun Elliott say about that?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say what he said, Mark. But how much blame and responsibility should Terrell Austin take for this? Like, should he realistically be on the hot seat? How much does Terrell Austin run the defense? Because we know a lot of it is Tomlin's show.
Well, I mean, you see it in the Hard Knocks. I mean, they sit in the room together and go over to film and come design a plan. That tells you right there that, sure, Austin has a lot to do with it, if not a majority of it, while the game is going on and stuff like that. But I don't think that the plan is put together strictly by him. I mean, at some point, you have to just determine if the schematics is right, right? And that would be Austin and Tomlin and whoever. But at some point, these players are just going to have to do their job. I sound like Bill Belichick, right?
Do your job.
Do your job. And it's, like I said, it's just not one of them. It's a lot of them right now are not doing their job. And it just seems like it perpetuates a lot. When one person doesn't do it, the next guy does it. The next guy does it. What you have to maybe worry about a little bit is the demeanor, the talk coming out. I mean, you don't really see this very often where a defensive player, any player, come out and say stuff like, they'll say stuff in passing, yeah, we have to do our job and stuff, but not to this degree. And it's coming from a couple of guys who have been the most vocal, was Elliott and Queen, guys from the outside.
Yeah, guys.
I don't know if I'm reading too much into that or not. I don't know. Maybe they're expecting a little – I don't know. I'm just reading into it. It's where it's coming from a lot of. So that's where you have to look for and see if that becomes an issue here of more pointing fingers. Hey, why are you calling so-and-so out? You're alluding to this. No, that just adds an extra layer. That's where Mike Tomlin has to step in during his Monday meeting, or if the game's on Saturday, the Sunday meeting, whenever that's going to be, and say, hey, we're done, we're a team, and let's move forward to hit there. But that just adds a little bit of an extra layer of interest heading into this final week.
I wonder what the thought is like, Mark, inside the locker room with Mike Tomlin right now, because to me, and to Crowley and many others on social media, he waved the white flag against Philadelphia by punting with 10.5 left. He waved the white flag against the Ravens, punting with 9.5 left, facing fourth down. I mean, I don't think he got the opportunity to do something like that against Kansas City. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like Tomlin, I don't know. I'm getting very frustrated with the way that Tomlin is executing games, not to mention his clock management.
Which is crazy because the first three quarters of the year, he was pretty much flawless of how he went about the team and directed the team in these situations. Maybe once or twice you could pick out some clock management issues here, but I mean, that's tough. You're at the point late in that game. Is it a better chance of going for it on 4th and 15 or trying to punt and get the ball back? I know the Eagles game, you weren't expecting the opposing team to go 21 plays.
Yeah, but you know who you're playing, right? And you know you're battling the clock. Like, you know the opponent. Like, that's the thing. When Tomlin says in press conferences, nameless gray faces, and then we see him on Hard Knocks saying we have to stop Washington, or defensively it's Marlon Humphrey, or it's Kyle Hamilton. So much for nameless gray faces.
Yeah, it's all about us, right? You know, they had a meeting yesterday. Not a meeting. They had their day after, I guess, film session. So I'm curious of how that would have went. There wasn't many, is what I was told, not many people available to the media afterwards. They're not really required to talk afterwards, but you don't know what came out of that. Usually it's a lot of just film and quick meetings like that, not until the big meeting. So you'll be able to tell, because the guys that do talk after this team meeting, either, like I said, Monday, and they come back and talk Wednesday, a lot of them will parrot the same things. You're like, okay, this guy said this, this guy said this, whatever it is. And you know that directly that's a message coming from Mike Tomlin. So you will probably get an inkling here on Wednesday or so of what Tomlin's message was to the team behind closed doors.
What do you expect Tomlin to say when he's asked about everybody, all the players calling out each other in the media?
He might blame us. Oh, they're just giving you answering a question, giving you what you want or something like that. Well, sorry, these guys pretty much offered this up without much resistance. And Patrick Queen was started it last week in Baltimore, where he just decided to go off a little bit as well, talking about other players have to do their jobs and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's not coming out publicly. What he's telling us on Tuesday, or if it's tomorrow, or if it's Monday, I'm like, I keep saying that depends on when their final game is. Tom was either going to be Monday or Tuesday. Whatever that is, you'll be able to figure it out. Whatever he tells us won't be what he tells the team behind closed doors. But the players will then turn around and end up parroting what he says. So it's just a big game, Austin.
A few more minutes with Mark Cabalia, the Pat McAfee Show. How much blame does Mike Tomlin deserve? Like, who's going to be the scapegoat in this? Last year, it was Matt Canada halfway through the year. If this thing continues to fall, like if they lose in Cincinnati and they lose to Houston, or they beat Cincinnati and they lose to Houston, don't win a playoff game, who's going to be the big bearer of responsibility for this?
Probably whoever has the biggest name and the biggest contracts, right? So you're going to blame, not in order, you're going to play Russell. You're going to blame Watt for not winning, Hayward for not winning. But if you're going to start at the top, we're already at the Tomlin blame game, right?
Well, who should it be then?
We already passed the Omar Khan one, so it was pretty good, pretty close to going to the Art Rooney one right after this. Who to blame? I mean, I guess you have to blame the head coach. He tells us all the time, the buck stops with him. So the buck stops with him. If there's somebody to blame for this, it has to be him, because he's partly, if not mostly, responsible for putting together this group and coaching it. So how can you not blame him for the successes and failures of this team right now? But I'm still not ready to write them off yet. I mean, this still could be a 12-win playoff win team very easily. They just can't play teams like Baltimore, Detroit, and Philly.
Well, what gives you that confidence now, though? Because, I mean, it's not like you go into the playoffs and play bad teams. I know Houston is reeling and they should win that game, but they're still decent.
There's no guarantee that anybody from Cincinnati's playing. They're eliminated tomorrow. I mean, why would Burrow play? Why would Chase play? Why would Higgins play, right? It doesn't make any sense. So all of a sudden you're playing a bad Bengals team with the only thing good about them is their offense that might be a little bit without their star players. Then you go to a Houston team that's in shambles right now. So it's not like they're facing the 85 Bears.
Well, they beat, They beat Denver. Denver has to win in Kansas City, and I know they probably won't play anybody. But then you're talking about a battle with who? The Chargers? Who play against New England. So, I mean, it is a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good possibility that it's not going to mean anything. And like I said, they're going to play two average to below average teams in the week 18 and in the playoffs. And what we've seen over the past, over the most recent, is they can beat those teams. They just can't beat the Chiefs of the world. So why can't they win 12 games?
Are the Steelers playing the right running back the majority amount of the time? I don't.
I was always a big Najee fan.
Me too.
He would be the best. But you know what? That was night and day the other day.
Significant. And I mean, they would put Warren in. He would go for a 7-yard run, 8-yard run, 10-yard run, 5-yard run. Then Najee would come in too. Three. And it just feels like it disrupts the rhythm of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, he said this in the past. It's not his choice of one who goes in and who's not. That's Eddie Faulkner. He doesn't micromanage. Maybe he needs to start micromanaging. Like I said, I always thought Najee would be the best fit for this offense. And as long as he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he should be in there. But the last couple of weeks, it's just, I don't know if Najee's hurt or if he's just tired or whatever it is, but there's a clear difference between when 30 gets the ball and when 22 gets the ball over the past week. And you have to take that into account moving forward, I think. Now, if they don't, then that's their derelict duty of realizing that. But, you know, what hurts Warren a little bit? I think they're still a little bit afraid of his ball security.
Yeah,
but
well,
he was securing the ball in the end zone the other day.
Najee fumbled too.
He dropped the ball. He didn't fumble.
That's the problem I have with those pitch plays. You take your eyes off the defense. You look at the defense, look at the ball, then look back at the defense. It's just, I don't know. I'm not going to act like I was a running back in the NFL.
This offensive line limits needs to step it up a little. This Chiefs defensive line should not have put that much pressure on him without Chris Jones. Sorry.
No, they shouldn't have. Mark, did I miss anything? Anything I didn't cover that I should have?
Can I engage you in a part of
Could I engage you in a game of free association, big boy? Somebody asked on the text line, asked Mark if A.J. Hawk has ever said anything interesting.
A.J. Hawk is the best dude in the world, the funniest dude in the world. You people are all haters.
The text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What were you saying, Mark?
I'm a huge Hawk fan.
Are you a fan of the Hawk Report with Jeff Hathorn?
A.J. Hawk. Am I messing up your reads there, Austin?
Well, no, it's all fine. Thank you, Mark.
Go ahead. I won't say anything. Do your read.
The text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, Mark, appreciate the time. Enjoy your Steelerless football weekend. You have some time to yourself. Are you going to take down some decorations even though isn't even New Year's yet?
No, I'm going to climb the top ropes here in about 2 minutes and do the old flying elbow. The Jimmy Snuka splash off the top ropes.
Are we going to be able to see you in the crowd? Like, if I tune in, will I see you in the first couple rows?
No, because it's not on TV. It's, like I said, it's a house show, holiday show. The one on TV is from Tampa tonight. So,
oh, it's all in-house. Any big stars supposed to be there?
Well, they're all supposed to be there. I think Gunther's supposed to be there. And who else is supposed to be there? Seth Rollins. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I know Seth Rollins.
Supposed to be here. Get your tickets now, right?
Thank you, Mark.
All right. We'll see you.
Mark Cabali, the Pat McAfee Show. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Up next, we'll get back to your calls on the Steelers. But let's also discuss Pitt losing in the Game Above Sports Bowl in 6 overtimes to Toledo. Deontay Johnson's alma mater. Julian Duggar. Really good second half for Pitt, despite the pick six. Why wasn't he the starter from the opening snap? Why? I don't get that. Pitt dominated in all the statistical categories. Almost every statistical category, Pitt led the charge, and they lost the football game. Can't turn the ball over. What do you make of Pat Narduzzi? He didn't shake hands at midfield, according to a lot of different people who put it out there and were watching it either at the game or on TV. Toledo and Pitt continues to lose bowl games. They are under 500 under Pat Narduzzi in bowl games. Austin Bechtold with you, filling in for Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller on the PM team. Dom has a headline, and we're back to talk some college ball and also take your calls on fam.
Do or die for Pitt, trailing by two in the overtime. Blitz, Duggar back, steps up. He's going to be hit as he throws it, and it's incomplete, and Toledo wins the game. Final, Toledo 48, the Panthers 46 in six overtimes.
It was the game above Sports Bowl, and it went above and beyond to try to be the best game of the week. After what we watched on Christmas Day, I still don't know what to behold of the Baltimore-Houston game, 31-2. I mean, what an absolute disaster by the Houston Texans. I mean, that, you know,
that sucked, to be blunt.
Yeah, you thought the Steeler game was bad? That Baltimore-Houston game, like, I knew Baltimore was going to win, Dom, but that was an embarrassment from Houston. They got boat raced in their own stadium. Like, that was bad, man.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix in front of 20-plus million people. I mean, my God.
Yeah, and they were saying that if it was on CBS or NBC or Fox, that it might have got a bigger number. It might have got, like, 30 million. As LeBron said that the NBA Christmas Day is our day. The ratings say otherwise. I think that they shouldn't play games on Christmas Day. That's just me. I'd rather, like, I don't want the Steelers playing on Christmas Day. I'd rather enjoy it with family and, you know, just appreciate the Christmas Day atmosphere and me not being, like, angry for 20 minutes, having to go right to the cookie table to feel better about myself after the Steelers have lost three games in a row. I think a lot of us are feeling that after the Steelers lost, like, ugh. It's Christmas Day. My grandmother keeps coming in on third down and trying to talk to me on, like, third down and four. Austin, did you see it? Did you want to hear this story? Do you know this? That? And I just go, I don't want to say anything. And then the end of the play goes, and I answer. And then I just look at my dad, and he's like,
but I'm completely
with We love our family. Our family is very close. But I'm like, oh, man, the game's going on.
By the way, so you played the sound from the Pitt game.
Yes.
Does Bill Hillgrove not sound like a broken man?
He sounded pretty deflated after that, pretty upset.
I mean, I feel bad for Bill just listening to that.
So people are going to blame Pat Narduzzi. People should blame Pat Narduzzi for this game for a lot of things that happened. You can't lose to Toledo in six overtimes. And, I mean, think about this. Pitt could have lost this game three separate times in overtime. They took a two-score lead in the fourth quarter, blew that. Julian Duggar should have started from the beginning. Why Julian Duggar did not start the game, I don't understand it, because he's a good athlete. He's a Penn Hills guy. You knew what you were getting in Julian Duggar. You did. Like, why they had to make the quarterback change after the first pick six. Yes, Duggar did throw a pick six himself. Easy for me to say. The whole thing just bothered me, man. And the way that Pitt went about the entirety of the game, how Pitt approached the game. So they started it out with David Lynch at quarterback, a walk-on who went 10 of 18, 65 yards through two picks. I think he was fine at moments. Julian Duggar's the better athlete. He's a good runner. Think he did pretty decent in the second half and in overtime. As best that you can ask from a guy who's your four-string quarterback coming into the year. Fourth, fifth, depending on what depth chart you want to look at, guys in the transfer portal, whatever. Toledo stormed the field not once, not twice, three times. There was a penalty. There was a review. Did Julian Duggar get into the end zone? And Toledo ends up beating Pitt in six overtimes by two on it's an odd overtime system, but whatever. Here's the brunt of the argument. If you think Pat Narduzzi should go, I understand it, and this is why. Pitt in the last 10 years of ACC play are 72-56 in the last 10 years. But more so, I look at what have you done for me lately? It's a what are you done for me lately league, just like the NFL is. College football, I look at it the same way, because college football continually becomes more and more like the NFL as the passing moment goes by. Over the last 2 years, Pitt is 10-15. And in the ACC, the terrible ACC, everybody, oh, the ACC is terrible. SMU shouldn't be in the playoffs. Clemson shouldn't be in the playoffs. The terrible ACC. Pitt is 5-11 in the last 2 years in ACC play. Since winning the ACC and having higher expectations, since Pat Narduzzi went 7-1 in the ACC, won the Coastal Division, I was at the clinching game. It was incredible to watch that game against Wake Forest. And they went on to play in the Peach Bowl and lost to Michigan State. Since then, Pitt is 10-14 in the ACC. Sure, they went 5-3 in conference play in 2022. Sure, they went 9-4 the year after winning the Peach Bowl and ended up winning the Sun Bowl. Sure. What have you done for me lately? 3-9 last year. Started this year 7-0. You were looking at numbers, what, as close to 1982? 81 was the last time the Pitt had won 7 games in a row to start the year. Start 7-0. And they ended a 6-game losing streak. I like Pat Narduzzi. I don't think that Pitt will move off of Pat Narduzzi. I would give him one more year. I like Pat. I wouldn't move off of him. I think he's a pretty decent coach. But if you're Pitt, you have to ask yourself, what is a realistic ceiling for Pitt? Like, what are the realistic expectations for Pitt? Okay, this is not Ohio State. This is not Penn State. This is not Clemson. This is not Florida State. And look how far rock bottom they hit this year. Okay, like, I think Pitt, realistically, every single year should be a 9-win team that every 3-4 years competes to win the ACC, should win the ACC every 4-5 years, and should get into the college football playoff. I mean, realistically, we were talking a month ago about Pitt having a realistic chance, 2 months ago, of going into the college football playoff. Realistically. Like, I thought Pitt could realistically get there. And now it's just, it's hard to fathom what has happened. And Pitt got some good news. I think another year with Eli Holstein will be good. They get Kyle Lewis back. They get Des Reed back. That's going to help significantly with the offense. I can't portray or I can't see Cade Bell going anywhere after what happened in the back half of the year. But it's alarming to me. Here's Kevin in Newcastle. What's going on, Kevin?
I don't know. I'm agreeing with everything you say, but I think the reason we lost the game is because we got suddenly too cute. Like, you have a tight end passing to a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a really good point. Like, Gavin Bartholomew is a good athlete. That would have been the most Pitt way to end the game and end the season, right, Kevin? Your tight end throwing a touchdown pass to one of your linemen.
Well, he could have run it in. There was enough room to run it in.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I couldn't even watch after that.
I appreciate the call. Let's go to Tom in Brentwood. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, guy? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Hey, that last guy was exactly right. I thought that same thing would happen. I'm like, what is Narduzzi doing? But the thing I had was they not only beat Pitt, they abused Pitt. They dogged them the whole. They had four twisting the helmet penalties. They pulled the helmets off of Pitt players 5 separate times during the game. 4 major penalties for face masking they had. And they cheap shotted Pitt the whole game, and Pitt did not respond.
No, I didn't feel like the officiating was very good in the game. I mean, when you ultimately go into overtime and still have a chance to win it. The one thing that really just bothered me, Tom, was it's 4th and goal at the, what, 2-yard line, 1-yard line, and Narduzzi kicks the field goal? Like, be aggressive. Go for it. Like, that's what I didn't understand. Why aren't you going for it there? And then they got cute later on. Just pound the ball in. You're playing Toledo. Tough nose football. I mean, come on.
That could have been his worst game he ever coached at Pitt. It was one terrible call after another. Horrible.
I appreciate it. Well, they have lost a... What games is Pat Narduzzi? Didn't they lose to Youngstown State? I know Pitt did lose to Youngstown State. I can't exactly remember if it was Narduzzi. It's mixed in with some of the bad losses that they've had. But good grief. That team just... They had high expectations this year once they reached like the heart of ACC play, I thought. First time that they had ever won all their non-conference games. I was very optimistic about Pitt. But the way that this thing ended, 7-0 is completely forgotten about. Completely forgotten about. Because it's the way that you finish the season. That is what everybody's going to remember. It's going to be a footnote. Like, hey, we started 7-0 for the first time since the early 80s. That's great. Maybe it could be a stepping stone and a building block. But right now, I'm just left scratching my head. Let's go to Rob in Turtle Creek. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Austin?
Oh, I'm all right. Hey. What you got for me?
I'm devastated. I mean, I'm not devastated. I'm disheartened, disappointed. I've been a Pitt fan for 50 years. I'm an alum, season ticket holder. It just, man, I don't know how much more we can take. How many more ways can you lose? I mean, you got 4th and a half yard. For God's sakes, it's a bowl game that means nothing. Absolutely crap.
Just go for it.
And the worst, but yeah, it does mean something in the end. You know why? Because if I'm a kid and I'm a transfer and I'm sitting at home and I'm watching this game, I'm thinking, hey, no way in hell I'm going to Pitt. No way. Am I going to get coached by this guy? He's gutless. He's got a half yard to go in a meaningless game. I mean, and you opt for a field goal. As Tomlin would say, you're living in your fears.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a good point, Rob. I mean, they were living in their fears.
Yeah. And you know what? If I'm Duggar, I'm sitting there going, yeah, I had a pretty good game. I had a pretty good audition here. And, you know, here Holstein's coming back. I'm not so sure I want to sit here. Let me see if I can test the portal and see what I can pull out here. Maybe I'll go to West Virginia. hey, how about that?
I appreciate it, Rob. I don't think that Julian Duggar is going to go anywhere. I really don't. Especially, I mean, it's one game against Toledo in a bowl game where a lot of guys didn't play. Now, I like the potential that he has. He should be the backup next year to Eli Holstein. Continue to grow. And, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? They could use him in packages. It is 4:29. It's time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Up next, no Donnie, but it's our friend Dom, the Dom Football Debrief. What does Dom have on tap for us today? Find out next. Austin Bechtold in for Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller, the PM team on the FAM. Yes. You know what time it is. It's the Donnie Football Debrief in for Donnie, intern Dom. Dom, what's the correct pronunciation of your last name, Di Tommaso?
You just said it perfectly, actually.
There we go.
You could not have said it any better.
I've heard a lot of people say Di Tommaso, and I was like, I don't think that's it.
We did a whole thing over the summer when I would run the Pirates board. Brownie, Greg Brown, and Joe Block always, you know, struggled pronouncing my name at the end of the game, and we thought it was very funny.
What would he call you?
It's probably some. It would like the Tommaso, ways you could butcher it.
I have butchered plenty of names in my play-by-play career. Like
really?
plenty of names. I mean, like, I always try to ask, but even when I ask and I write it out phonetically, sometimes if I look at a name like the first time, I say it that way, like in the middle of the broadcast, and I'm just like,
sure.
What am I doing? And then I go back to saying it the right way, but it's human nature. We all do it.
Some of us have difficulty. See, you're lucky. You have Bechtold, which is pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, not so fast, my friend. I've heard Bechtold. I've heard Beechtold.
No one's called you Beechtold.
Oh, people have, yes.
Really?
I have, not in this building. But people have come up with odd ways to pronounce my last name. It doesn't make any sense. Bechtold is what I hear all the time.
Yeah, it's like, spelled C-H.
Where's the K? Like, people think there's a K in my last name.
Yeah. Well, Bechtold. So, yeah, I
guess that's
it.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, Austin. So, I have two things for you. I usually like to do a couple topics. The first one is just more of a random fun fact that I came across. And the second one is something we can really sink our teeth into. So the first item at hand. The Bills welcomed in 10 new ownership partners this month.
Yes.
And I don't know why I was reading about this last night, but I was reading about it and I fell into a rabbit hole. And I came across this fact, and I never knew this. I don't know if you knew this. But when the Bills were up for sale in 2014... one of the finalists to buy the team was Donald Trump.
I did not know that.
Now, he lost out on the bid, obviously, and there's reports that maybe there was collusion over what happened with Trump and the USFL, and they were afraid maybe he'd become the next Jerry Jones dominating presence okay. in the league. But Trump has said if he bought the team in 2014 successfully, he never would have entered politics.
Wow.
So think about how not just sports— but the world would have been completely changed.
The world would have significantly changed, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy to think about.
And if he would have bought the team, he would have become the next Jerry Jones. I can't even imagine him as an owner.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. Like, if Trump owned the Buffalo Bills, would the next Jerry World Stadium already have been built?
Oh, my God. They'd be playing in a cathedral, like a literal cathedral. It'd be unbelievable.
Would he be so involved in player personnel, though, I wonder?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
Completely. He'd probably have weekly media stuff. It'd be very entertaining.
Could you imagine press conferences with Trump after every game?
Oh, my God.
The offensive line, did not block enough. We need to be better.
It would be, honestly, it'd be unbelievable. Like, you know, Mark Cuban is always kind of thought of as a dominating presence when it comes to owners.
He is. Those two very opposite on the political sides as well. They don't like each other.
Yeah, Trump would probably fit in pretty well with the NFL owners, you know?
I think it's possible.
So the second topic, I thought that was pretty interesting, right?
I thought that was very fascinating. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't even know that he was a finalist and that I think I saw once that he was interested in purchasing an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know the extent of like how far it got.
Yeah, apparently it got pretty far. He really wanted it, I would assume.
I would think anybody would want to own an NFL team, especially think about the value of what the Buffalo Bills are now.
Right.
With Josh Allen. I mean, they've probably gone up significantly.
Right. And say what you want, but I think he would have made I think he would have been a good owner and certainly an entertaining owner.
I mean, he's a good businessman.
Absolutely.
So I could see him running the Buffalo Bills pretty well.
So the second topic, the numbers were released for the NFL on Netflix on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Chiefs, Steelers got 24 million. Ravens, Steelers got 24.3 million.
And those are bad games that are getting good ratings.
Bad games getting good ratings, and it blew out the NBA, which is on ABC. So the NBA's highest rated game was Lakers-Warriors, which got just under 8 million.
That was the best game of the day.
Best game of the day on network TV. So I have a take for you, Austin.
Okay.
There is no doubt in my mind that Netflix in the next 20 years is going to get a Super Bowl. And not just a Super Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked if they get a weekly primetime game and maybe even part of a conference package, because the current media rights deal is through 2023. Netflix will almost positively be a part of the next one.
When does that deal end? Because they just did the deal.
Right, so 2033, which is 9 years from now.
Yeah.
So there's some time.
So they could do something like what Amazon did with Thursday Night Football.
And I think they will. Because I thought their coverage of Christmas was better than Amazon's coverage of Thursday Night Football. Peacock, I thought, has done a good job.
Yeah. But I like Noah Eagle. But other than that, the NBC broadcast, I think, is the best of everybody's. I think NBC does the best job production-wise.
I would agree. I think Buck and Aikman are the best team. But I think production-wise, I agree. I think NBC does the best job.
I like Tirico and Collinsworth. You like that hot take?
I'm not a big Tirico guy.
I like Tirico a lot. Now, Collinsworth, I know a lot of people don't like him. I feel like he actually likes the Steelers. And a lot of people say he hates the Steelers. I think he likes the Steelers. He makes Steelers references that are positive in how many Sunday Night Football games?
Yeah,
like, all the time. I feel like I hear one every single time.
Well, I mean, everybody thinks that the announcer hates their team. Okay, but what do you think about Netflix getting a Super Bowl? You see that happening?
Maybe. I don't want it to happen.
Why not?
I mean, the world is just continuing to go such in a huge direction with streaming. The fact that you have to spend, like, how much? What's the number? Like $200 to see every game? You need cable for ESPN.
Oh, yeah, I think it's even more than that.
You need, what? Netflix packages are now about $20.
Yeah, they're a lot.
You got to pay for Amazon Prime.
Peacock, ESPN.
You
got to
pay for Peacock, ESPN Plus. It's just getting ridiculous. It's completely out of hand.
But do you have all those streamers?
Yeah.
See, I do too. Now it sucks that we have to have them. But if
I don't want to have them though. Like, I don't want to have all those.
If Netflix got a Super Bowl, you'd still be able to watch it. You would definitely keep Netflix to have it.
Do you have all those streaming services, or do you use some of your buddies?
Some of them are mine, some of them are buddies.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people do that.
I think everybody does that.
Yeah.
But it's just the way things are. Austin, if they could get $24 million for a crappy Ravens-Texans game on Christmas.
On Netflix on Christmas.
If they get a Super Bowl, I mean, Chris Paul. Logan Paul. My God. Yeah, Jake Paul. And Mike Tyson got what, $65
million? Yeah, and what a disaster of a fight that was. I was so excited for that. So excited for that fight. And for it to be the dud it was.
Yeah.
Should there be a Super Bowl on Netflix? I don't know. I feel like their broadcast was good.
It was great.
I feel like that would be a nightmare for some broadcasters. They ended up pulling J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson, and Ian Eagle. So they basically took the CBS crew to do the one game. And then Noah Eagle, NBC, ended up doing the second. That would be a huge bidding war for broadcasters to try to get the Netflix rights. I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely in the next 10 years. But they did just put ABC/ESPN back in the rotation.
Which should have always been in the rotation, to be honest. It's weird thinking that they didn't have the Super Bowl for the longest time.
Yeah, it is. Texter, the sideline crew for the KC Steelers game was horrendous.
Who was the sideline crew?
What did you make of them? It was like a three-person crew. I think CM Punk was on like the pregame show.
Yes, yes. Okay, I thought Ian Eagle did a great job. I thought J.J. Watt and Nate Burleson did an okay job. Everybody else, I wasn't moved, to be honest.
No, I mean, nobody really moved the needle for me.
No, and those pregame shows, I feel like there's very few people that actually move the needle in the NFL. And everybody just watches the same show they've been watching for 30 years.
If we get a Netflix Super Bowl, are they going to get, like, the kids from Stranger Things are just going to pop out at halftime? Are we going to get, I don't know, the guys from Suits?
Yeah, they should.
Is Mike and Harvey just going to appear?
That's exactly what they should do.
Do you want Outer Banks, everybody from Outer Banks, to show up in the middle of the third quarter? And
yes, I do.
Do like a live hit or something?
I absolutely do.
That's how they promo it?
You know, I just started watching Stranger Things about 3 weeks ago.
You're about 3 to 5 years behind.
I know, and I have 2 episodes left in season 4.
I was in high school, like, I think my sophomore year, when the first year of Stranger Things came out.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Season 5 is about to come out this year, coming up.
I feel like I've watched it at the perfect time. I don't have to wait like everybody else has. I can just jump right into season 5.
Yeah, but sometimes having it spread out as much as it is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be fun.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do once I finish season 4 and have to wait for season 5.
Well, season 5 is going to be coming in like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. You're not going to have to wait long.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be a summer fall thing.
Well, it probably will be. They'll probably spread it out.
Still, though.
That and Squid Games. Did you see, like, the 20 people they had in the stands for Squid Games?
Yeah, that was also kind of...
Why do you need to do that?
Like, that was also kind of weird.
Did they just buy... Like, I'm sure people have season tickets there. Did they just buy somebody's season tickets for the game? And
yes.
Did Netflix just say, here's, like, I don't know, $700, Merry Christmas? We're
Guarantee
just going to put everybody from Squid Games in the seats?
Guarantee it. Yeah, that was kind of weird. See, that's the other thing when you get into these streamers, all the product placement that you're gonna get.
Yeah.
But I thought the coverage was great. I didn't experience any glitches or any buffering issues. I don't know about you, but it went smoothly for me.
No, it went really smooth. I was surprised that there was no glitches or buffering for either.
Listen, Netflix, like, so we're just talking about wrestling with Mark. They're getting Monday Night Raw in January. They have a new show coming out with Robert De Niro in February, Stranger Things. They just had that movie, Carry On, that's now popular. Netflix is right now about doing as well as they've ever done.
Well,
so I think if the NFL is ever going to jump on the Netflix bandwagon, now's the time to do it.
They probably will. I'm traditional. I like my NCIS shows on Monday night. I like my Chicago Fire and Chicago PD shows on Wednesday night. I sound like I'm 57 years old or something. Starkey at least makes that claim that you sound like you're like a 75-year-old dude watching TV on like a Wednesday night with nothing to do.
Have you seen the new Matlock on CBS with Kathy Bates?
No, I don't. That doesn't look appealing to me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I am like a big watch CBS, watch NBC. Like those primetime shows, a lot of the times I'll just record them and I'll go back and watch them.
Why not? I see nothing. Don't let Starkey bully you.
Well,
don't let him do that.
Did you see what Starkey gave me for Christmas?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty nice gift, actually.
Did you see what I gave him for Christmas?
Might have been an even better gift since it wasn't re-gifted, you know?
It was not re-gifted. The 50-minute mark. Thank you, Dom. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up next, Najee Harris's snap count is trending down in the last couple of games. Should Jaylen Warren receive the brunt of the carries for the Steelers moving forward, especially with the Steelers' offensive line trending in the wrong direction? We'll also get back to taking your calls. Steelers, Pitt, it's on the table. We'll also get to open phone Friday at 5:30. Nick Farabaugh of Penn Live will join us at 5:15. Austin Bechtold with you for another hour to go on the PM team in for Pony and Miller.